He's going to ask you to go somewhere, give something, do something, provide something. And it's going to say against your natural self, like, well, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. It's impossible for me to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I'm not smart enough. I don't have whatever. And it's like that faith, stretching that faith of when God tells you to do something, He will give you the ability to do it. Do you believe that? He's not going to give you something and tell you to do something to see you fall flat on your face and laugh. The devil will do that. Your co-workers might do that, pulling a trick on you. But God is not a God of tricks to where He's wanting to see His people fall flat on their face. When He says do, go, do this, don't do this, provide that, whatever, and it's when you look at yourself saying, I don't have that ability, that's when you've got to realize that God is your source. And so we got to keep that. And it's a stretching of your faith. Faith is letting God stretch your imagination. It talks about how to grow in the stretch. You know, we shared a lot in regards to the last several weeks on stretching and all that in the physical, as far as the desires and the purposes of stretching physically for your body to do things. And for some of us in here today, it's a stretch for our bodies to even do something. A big stretch, you know. It's like, oh, haven't done that for a while. How long? When's the last time you were in a physical education class, you know, and you went through calisthenics and things like that? It's been quite a while for me. How about you, you know? But, you know, I remember those times when they would go through that, and you felt pretty good coming out of them after a while. First few days or maybe the week was a little sore, but as you stayed with it, everything else, it made you jump out of bed faster, run faster. Well, I only ran faster when I got PF Flyers. Remember those old tennis shoes, man? They were good for everything. So these are just some things that we can look at as far as the things of what God and stretching is all about. And you can come up with more and more phrasing and things of that nature. Now, before we go any further, I know last few weeks I've been giving out rubber bands, and some have taken more than one, because they lose them or they forget them and all, and that's okay. As you can see, I've still got some rubber bands here. So being that this is pretty well my last day on this, I'm here to hand out some more rubber bands. So for those that haven't been here before, you might need your first one. For those that have been here a few times and had one or two and you need another one, I will not make any indication that this is your second, third, or fourth rubber band. I would just say be blessed when I give it to you. But who would like a rubber band? There you go, sir. Take whatever color. My finger's in there. Just I don't know if they'll all come out or not. But no, you keep them. Do not shoot these back at the presenter. Oh, sure. Yeah. So far, we've done pretty good the last few weeks. I've not had anything being shot back at me, so I feel pretty safe right now. Anybody back here? Anybody else? Okay, we'll get some over here. All righty. There you go. Whoops. Sorry. That's okay. It's going to happen. How about you, Rick? Randy, you got yours? Here you go. Well, I got them all messed up here. All kinds of colors. Want a yellow one? There's the last one just for you. It matches your shirt. Okay. All righty. Here you go. Which color there, Anna? I've got a particular color. Red. I got a lot of red there. All righty. Anybody else over here?
Oh.
You are fine. It was me. It was anybody else back there, ma'am? Yep. Tracy, how are you doing back there, ma'am? Okay, just checking out. Well, that's okay. We just want to have a little fun with you. I realize how hard it is to, you know, keep some things, and it's like, well, what's that for? What's that? You know, and maybe it came to good purpose. Maybe you need to rubber band some stacks of paper together. And it was there. He said, look, Lord, you knew I was going to need a rubber band, and I got it from church. You're a blessing God. Now, we gave you this, and you don't need to sow into the church ministry of rubber bands. So don't put that in the offering bag, please, okay? I don't think we can deposit rubber bands. But I do have a lot of paper clips up here. I forgot I laid them here the other day. They bounce. Yeah, the checks, the bouncy. So, you know, it's a, well, I understand what you're saying. It went over your head, huh? But, you know, it is. It's important that we stretch into things of God. And it's if we don't, we'll either break or we won't make it. In the natural, you're not going to be an athlete if you don't stretch and do the proper exercise or the proper training to fulfill what you're wanting to achieve. We've been watching the last few weeks, and that's when I really begin to feel athletic, watching the Olympics, because I can sit in my recliner and have a bowl of ice cream. While they're exercising. You know, these girls, ladies, doing these things on gymnastics that I'm thinking, how can anybody walk on a beam and flip and go backwards and all that? Whew, man. I said, put a little hot fudge on that ice cream tonight. We're going to have a workout, man, I tell you. One, two. That is exercise. So maybe I'm taking it the wrong way. I don't know, you know. But I can look at them to see, Lord, you know, for them to achieve what is on their heart, it takes perseverance. It takes getting back up after they fall. And I've seen some of them fall in these preparations and trials that they're doing. And they get up and, you know, that just possibly knocked them out of the possibility of getting into the finals to go to the Olympics. And it all hedges on the performance of that night. They might be number one throughout the whole training and initiations and things that they're growing into, but it could be going into this final thing of the country, getting ready to put the team together, and this person has a messed up night on one aspect, and the score goes way low, and they go by scoring. It's kind of a crazy thing. So they perform, and they're only as good as their last performance of whatever it is, swimming, gymnastics, you know, you name it. It's where it's at. Well, you know, as we in our Christian walk go through this life, you know, we have built up testimonies of the things of the past that God has done for us that we have stretched in those times probably to see and have a wonderful testimony, because testimonies comes out of a what? A test. And I know in grade school, I never really did good in tests. The teacher would come in and say, okay, we're going to have a surprise test. And you might as well just put a 0 or a D for me right now, because my mind just went crazy. It's like, you know, let's just cut to the chase, put a D, and let me go outside and play. But, you know, testimonies in our life of a Christian are times of building. It's times of developing your faith muscles. It's developing your stretch of your faith. It's those times that you do something or need something from God that only He can provide or work through maybe man in the circumstances, but you know it's out of your abilities. It's something that's like, oh Lord, I need you, you know. Whatever we hear, the doctor's report or a financial report or at a company or a job, scaling back their hours, or whatever the case might be. You can fill that blank into whatever you're going through that all of a sudden it's a God thing. You've got to have God on your side. And as a follower and a follower of His and a child of His, I know that my heavenly daddy's on my side. My Father in heaven is there for me. I want to be there for Him. So I've got to do things on this side of heaven to gain, so to speak, that respect of Him. Now, you know, He's no respecter of persons and things. What He's done for one, He'll do for the other. But I've got to keep Him esteemed, and I've got to worship Him and praise Him and keep Him in my heart as the God of everything and the power and the source and what He is capable and can do. And so there is no other God but Him. We hear a lot about it throughout different organizations and other religions and other circumstances of this God, that God, who this, that, all the others. And all we know, and then, you know, different ones that they follow, but God is the God. He is the beginning to the end. He is, I am that I am that I am. Jesus, the only one, as far as died, rose again, ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. So the power source that we have with that relationship with God the Father is a very powerful thing to have. Amen? Amen? And that's what's going to get you through this life. That's what's going to get you through your dire circumstances. It would be great to go through life and have everything willy-nilly happy, everything's fun, no problems at all. If anybody is in here today that have not had a problem in their life, please raise your hand. I see no hands raised, so evidently we're all part of this deal. Somebody would have raised their hand, I'd say, you're an alien. You're not from here. You know, well, in God's word, though, we're all aliens, kind of like sojourning through this place. We're a peculiar people. We're a peculiar people because we can be happy in sad situations. We're a peculiar people because where our source and where our strength and where our comfort comes from, it's not dictated by the world. It used to be, but it's no longer because of Christ and because of Christ in us, that he puts us into a level of understanding that I am going to go through trials and tribulations and I'm going to be stretched in these situations. And in my past life before Christ, I would probably break my rubber band when I was stretched. But no longer, because with God on my side and being able to stretch with him, he's stretching to me, I'm stretching to him, and he's not going to break. Hallelujah. So that's the love and the power of why I can be so pumped up for God. You pump you up, you know? And like, I don't know if Jesus took a thing from Arnold or Arnold took a thing from Jesus, but I'll be back. Yeah, Jesus is going to come back. And we got to be ready. And I don't know when that time is, and I don't want to say I could care less. Whenever he comes, I want him to come, but I want to be found doing the things of what God has asked him to do. I hope you want to be found doing the things God has asked you to do and to be a part of his ministry here in this place. This world is dying and going to hell. The people out there are lost. They just don't know it and understand it because the God of this world has blinded and seared their minds and their hearts so they don't even understand what they're walking into. They think it's happy and everything's fun and, oh, well, when bad things happen, it happens to all of us. No, well, that's just life. That's just luck. Bad luck. Good luck, you know. And they've bought out to that type of thought process and it's running rampant out there. Now, we're here, but we've got a different aspect of thought to that because we're looking at it saying, yeah, it is bad, but my God will take care of me. My God will provide for me. My God will give me joy where there is no joy. Oh, yeah, we have to go to him and pray for situations in our family and health concerns and all these things that come up, but we pray and we know that God hears. And he continues to stretch us in these areas. And it's only for our good, my good, your good. Now, gosh, let's see here. I got to get rid of some of this paper. I don't know where all this stuff comes from, man. Well, we don't know what God is asking you to stretch into. He's asking you to possibly do something that you don't normally do. Maybe you've never done. He's going to maybe ask you to stop doing something that you've always done, that you're saying, I don't know how I can stop this without God. Or I don't even know if God can help me stop this because it's been a part of my life. I'm 42 years old or whatever the age is. I don't know if there's any hope for me. It's a habit so much in my life that how am I going to stop? But he could be stretching you to say, you need to stop that. Giving something. Be stretching you to say something to someone. You ever been out somewhere and the Holy Spirit's tugging on you to give a word to somebody or to do something for somebody or whatever? And it's like, oh, I don't know if it's for me or not. Oh, you sure, Lord? Oh, boy, do I really want to do that? You know? And so he might be asking you to say something, do something out in the public. To start to do something. He might ask you to get into some part of ministry or to do some kind of helps in your community. And you're going to say, I don't have the time or to only be able to do that. This is going to have to happen. This has to change in my schedule for me to do that. I just don't see it happening, so I'm not even going to worry about it. No, he might be saying, this is what I want you to do. You just need to believe me for it and stretch your faith for that, and you'll be able to do it. But you've got to be willing to start that. I didn't read, I don't think, one of the things in there on one of the captions I was reading. I don't think, I don't recall saying this. It has something to do with God's promises are there for you, they may not be in your hand, but they're within your reach, or something like that. See, God has all these promises out there for us, but he's just not dropping them into your lap. Here, here, here. He's saying, I've got these things for you. Now come and get them. How do you come and get them? You surrender your life to him. How do you do that? You tell him that he's number one in your life. There's nothing in this world that's more important than you, God. That, you know, if it came to the point of confessing you as my Lord or denying you, and if I denied you, they would kill me, I would have to say, you are my Lord. Let the bullet go where the bullet may go. But it's that point of selling totally out to him to where he knows you're his. And so as we look at these situations, he's going to ask us or instruct us to possibly do some of these things. Boy, I tell you, let's see, where's this at? Here's the last one here. He might ask you to love someone. Woo! Oh, Lord, that person is impossible, Lord. I've got to do what? Lord, you know them. You know what they're about. How can I love them? I can't love them. Well, possibly not on your own terms or your own ability, but it does say that we need to love even our enemies and pray for our enemies. I can't. How many here can pray for your enemy? On your own, it's not easy. You know, if we just thought of myself like, okay, we're going to go to prayer on Wednesday and let's pray for everybody we love. Oh, that's fun. We can do that. We can come up all kinds of names. But it's one of those times that, no, we've got to pray for those that we love and that we're concerned about, and then we've got to pray for the enemies. We've got to pray for the enemies of the church. We've got to pray for the enemies that go against the kingdom of God, because God's going to sort it out. And all I want to do here again is when he comes back, I want to be found faithful doing what he's asked us to do. When he comes back, I don't want him to come back and say, well, Tim, you were very faithful in praying for everybody that was good to you and that you liked and all that, but I impressed upon you, I wanted you to pray for that freedom from religion group and all. I wanted you to pray for government officials that you didn't agree with, and you didn't do any of that stuff. Why did you not do that? Do you not understand what my word says? Well, then, oh, Lord, that'd be a stretch for me to do that. That's what I'm wanting to do, is stretch you to do that. You pray for who I ask you to pray for, I will deal with who I'm wanting you to pray for. It's not for me to deal with them. It's for me to say, Lord, unleash your will, whatever it is, upon this individual, upon this group, upon this whatever organization in our country. And I tell you what, those that are going more against the things of God and the things of the church, you better be praying for them sometimes even more than your good Christian friends. Because if you're going to see a change in this nation, it's not going to be because of the good Christian people. They're already there to a point, you know, they're following God. It's going to be God doing the extreme opposite to this group over here. Well, I don't want to put that group over there. These are good church folk over here. This group over here, you know, he's going to work in them and going to astound the society, because the society knows that this group was totally anti-God, anti-thing of this, anti-anything of whatever. And now look at that. They got their CEO and they got their organizers saying, well, we had I don't know what happened. One night I had a dream and I saw an image and God showed up, and I've got to change my way from against him to I got to be for him. That comes by prayer. That could be your prayer that was answered. It could be the prayer of multiple churches, multiple Christian organizations, praying for those in areas that are the enemies to the things of God. Stretching us to do those things. We get into the areas of where you want to be stretched at. And before we get there, I just want to turn real quick, Deuteronomy. Do, 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 Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 26. Now, this is Moses writing this, and we're talking about some things. And this is an area of talking about offerings and first fruits and tithes and all that. And it's not really tying that in, but in some instances it is a tie-in to a stretch in our Christian walk. Begins a lot of times of a stretch within that of giving. Because financially, finances are so much a part of our makeup of what we know, what we need to get through the week or what for the month. And so giving in that area and tithing and offerings, that's a very, very big issue for a lot of people. Oh, Deuteronomy 26, we're going to go to 8. But the chapter of 26, just kind of talking about offerings and first fruits and tithes. But then we get into, and this is going forth, and it's talking about, and it shall be in the verse 26:1, when you come into the land which the Lord God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground. And it goes on talking about bringing it in to God. And so that's the first fruits, the first off of your crops. Well, the thing on there too is looking at, we've come out of some looks at this as far as also when you've come into the land which God has given you to possess. You know, God has given us things to possess. That's what's so awesome about God is God has already given us these areas. Guess what? They're yours. But you've got to go and do what? Possess them. Now, we're not going to get into this stretching across the Jordan and all this and Joshua and all that. We've had studies and we did some teachings on that sometime back or some messages on that. But I want to get into 8 where it says, and so the Lord brought us out of Egypt. He's referring and reminding back. He's kind of reiterating some of these things here. But he says, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt. This is Deuteronomy 26:8, with a mighty hand and with a what? Outstretched arm. Could you just envision God with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm bringing the children of Israel out into the promised land? You know, his arms are stretched out. He's stretching to you. He's saying, come, this is your ground to take. Yeah, I should say, okay, who wants to stretch? Come up here. Who would like to touch their toes? Who can still touch their toes? Please pick up that paper while you're down there. That's why you got to have children in the church. Come up here. Come here. You're lower to the ground. Oh, I tell you. Woo, stretch that. Oh. But with the outstretched arms and with great terror and with signs and wonders, God did so marvelous things for the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and slaves, and they were there, you know. And he came in and we've gone through, but envision that. And I've talked about it, and we've seen in some scriptures here of God stretching out his hand and he's wanting you to stretch out your hand. We talked about, you know, Jesus with the man with the withered hand, stretch it forth, and he stretched it out and it was healed like the other one. Last week we shared about how Peter, and as he was sinking, walking on the water, he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the circumstances. He began to sink, and it says that Jesus stretched forth or reached out his hand and grabbed Peter and kept him from failing or falling or sinking. So we see that it's a two-way street. Aren't you glad that we have a God, we serve a God, that what he asks us to do, he does. You know, he stretches forth, we stretch forth. It's a two-way street. We're stretching, he's stretching, and it's all to help us. It's not to help him because he's God. He's God. He's a good God. He's not good. He's not going to get any better than what he is. You know, he's God of all. He's God. He's God. He's the I am. So he's not stretching to say, well, look, if I stretch and help this guy, it's going to make me look a lot better. No, but his love for you, his concern for you, what he has for you, he's willing to say, I will stretch forth for you, or I will stretch my arms to say, come, can you not stretch forth to me and reciprocate? Don't go like this, you know, I'm going to stretch to him, I ain't going to do that, no way. So that is, God has helped with his outstretched arms. And one other area in Jeremiah 27:5. Jeremiah 27:5, and this is here just reaffirming back and just reminding again, and these are just some things, 27:5, where, you know, it's talking about the reign of the son of Josiah, the king of Judah. The word came to Jeremiah, the Lord saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes. And you can read all through that, but it gets down to this here where it says that, and the command them to say to their master, thus says the Lord of hosts, in verse 4, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, 5. I have made the earth, the man, the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm. God. By my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. So God is stretching forth. So we're going to look at some things here in some scriptures, just tying it all together for us here. But it might be, well, what are we having to do here for stretching? What about anxiety? Anybody worry or anybody have anxiety here? Comes real easy sometimes, you know? You get a bill in the mail and you don't have any money in the bank, all of a sudden, wow, I got to worry. I got an anxiety there. That's a lot. I didn't expect that, you know, or something comes in higher than you expect or whatever it is. I don't know. With anxiety, things you worry about, you know, it could be the point of when I go to the grocery store, you know, I'm going to worry. Am I going to find what I'm wanting to buy? I don't know. You know, anxiety. People let anxiety and worries just come upon them. But that might be an area that you got to stretch to say, I'm no longer going to have worry and anxiety because God says I don't have to have that. Because in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not do what? Do not be anxious about anything. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious about nothing. Now that's even sad. We've got people in our churches, Christians and whatnot, sometimes by listening and talking to them, you can tell they're anxious. They're having some situations in their life, and that can happen to any of us. I'm not saying because you're a Christian, you're not going to have that. But if that begins to come into you, you've got to know that you need to lay it down, that you need to understand that God has not given us that, that He's there in every situation. But you got to, by prayer, you know, when you start having trials and tribulations, don't you? First thing I begin to do is, oh, Lord. I begin to pray, Lord, what am I missing? Lord, what did I do? Lord, I need your help. Lord, I want your will. Lord, I don't understand. If I don't understand, I want it to be your perfect will, your perfect blessing, how you want it. Help me understand that, Lord. You begin to ask those things like that, and He will stretch you. Because sometimes it even gets worse before the answer comes. And just when you're thinking the miracle or the answer is there, something else comes up and rears its head. Now it's like, Lord, I prayed about this. It should have been fixed by now. Oh, no, Tim. You got to keep praying. You got to keep persevering. You got to keep pressing on or pressing in. You got to keep calling on me. You got to keep that faith there raised up. You got to believe that I'm hearing you, but it's coming, but it's not going to come tomorrow like you want. But you got to believe that I heard it and it's coming. Tim, do you not believe that I love you and I trust you and I love you and that I care for you and that I have a plan for you? Yes, I do, Lord. So then I've got to believe that and continue to hold on to that. Amen? Amen. I think in let's go on. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7. Humble yourselves, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Woo! What hand do you want to be in when you're going through a problem? I want to be in God's hand. When He stretches that forth and He catches me as I'm falling or I'm going down, just like Jesus did to Peter, you know, spiritually, He's going to reach out and say, oh, Tim, you're struggling there. Let me just help you up with that. Oh, I begin to feel that relief. Oh, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for giving me that strength. I'm going to be humbled. I'm not going to say, get away, God. I can do it myself. I've done it before. I don't need you. You did this once for me. I can take it from here. No, I'm going to be humble and say, come, Lord. Come quickly. Help me through this. But it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Because why? He cares for you. Isn't it kind of easy when you begin to really put this together and understand God, that how much He loves you? Okay, so it might be a stretch in this particular situation in your life or your circumstance, but He really loves you. He cares for you. He talks in His Word where He's not going to give you something that you can't overcome. You know, He knows your strengths. He knows your ability. But now when we go through something, we look at it as, oh boy, that's pretty hard. I don't know if I can overcome it. Why do you begin to doubt what God is there? And he says, nothing is going to come upon you that you cannot overcome. But you're not going to overcome it with yourself, because God is there. If you allow God into your problem, that's where a lot of us fail, you know. We're good and everything's going well. Then we get into a problem, and then we get prideful and, oh, I don't need it. I can do it on my own. And maybe you got yourself through it a few times before, but guess what? It was never lasting. It fell again, or it happened again, or it came upon you again. You're down again. We got to get humbled and say, okay, Lord, I've dealt with this enough in my life for the last 10 years, 12 years, 6 years, 6 months, whatever the case might be in this particular area of my life. I'm surrendering it over to you and saying, Lord, I need you. Woo! Cast your anxiety upon him. These are some things that you might need to stretch in. It might be hard for you to be humble. It might be hard for you to do these things because you've always been told, you've got to take care of yourself. How many here have been told, you've got to take care of yourself? We've all been told that. Now, in the natural, as our parents and as we're growing up, you know, I don't know if the schools are sharing that much with the kids anymore. But as we were growing up in years when I was growing up in years and kids and this and that and my mom and dad, it was kind of understood that there comes a point in time where you need to grow up, take accountability, and now this is your life and you've got to take care of yourself. You know, when it happens, you maybe need to go back for mom and dad now and then, that's fine. But to go back every time and as a crutch, that's a problem. You've got to grow up and you've got to go out and forge your life for yourself and your family and all this stuff. You gotta do that. There's a lot of messages in that we're not going to get into that. But how about receiving healing in your body? A lot of people dealing with physical needs. Even here, today. Those that aren't here today, we mentioned those in the beginning about knee operations and having a fall and having pain in a cracked pelvis area and all this type of stuff that they're working through. In Isaiah 53:5, he was bruised for our iniquities. It tells us there in Isaiah 53:5. And by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now there's a lot of people that have to stretch into their healing. And there's been healings taking place in this body. And God is a God of answering prayer. He's a God of healing. Sometimes we don't understand, it doesn't get healed the way we would like, or, you know, there could be times that even death comes, even after praying for people, because whatever, we don't have the answers for all that. But just because you don't have the answers, don't give up on God. That's really when you need to stay tuned into God, because you want God to be as close to you, and you want to be as close to him. In 1 Peter 2:24, he who himself bore our sins in his body, his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now it talks about physical healings, you know, there's spiritual healings, you know, getting us in the right relationships with God and all this. But, you know, these are talking about by his stripes we're healed, the physical. Jesus came and he didn't just heal people spiritually, really, he healed them, a lot of them physically. Why was that? Because he saw them, and there's times where he went in and they all were healed, and then there's other times where he went in and it says that not everyone was healed, just some. Okay. Give you the word, huh? And God will give you that word, that comfort, that, you know, as you're in prayer, as you're just meditating with him, then you'll get a peace and you'll say, okay, it's all going to be good. You know, and you take that step. He takes away that anxiety, takes away the worry, does the healing. Psalms 107, 19 to 20, we're just kind of running through these. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Anybody here got trouble? Have you cried out to God? I hope so. And he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now we can go on, and there's some scriptures here that I pulled together for to trust God with your finances, you know, and these are to pray more, to help with your faith. These, you can put that blank out there. It's just like, what is God saying that you need to stretch in? What is going to benefit you in your Christian walk to stretch? healings, you know, getting rid of anxiety, with our finances, stretching in our faith. My goodness, 1 Peter 5:7, let him have all of your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you, and he's watching everything that concerns you. 1 Peter 5:7, let him have all of your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. He's a God that does not slumber, does not sleep, does not doze off. Hallelujah. Woo! But I tell you, I've been in some churches and all, and I've dozed off. I've been sitting in those comfy chairs and all that, you know. It's like, oh, this is just really nice. But our God, my God, hey, God, I love you. But he's a God that never sleeps, doesn't slumber. And why is that? That's why he can sit there, why we have his word, that he's always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. All these things, these are areas that might need to be stretched in your life to not grow weary. In the past, you grew weary, but not with God anymore. Probably because you just turn it over to him anyway. You turn it over to him. You take care of life and what's going on. And if nothing else, you let him do your worrying and taking care of your problems, and you just go out there and glorify him to the people you meet. Amen. That's that joy of the Lord. Well, Sister So-and-so, I know your husband lost his job and all that, and you guys are tight on money and all that, but and you're out here just, you know, happy and just praising and giving people prayer and all. Shouldn't you be worried about yourself? No. God knows our needs. He's taking care of us. We've turned it over to him. We're his children. We're part of his kingdom, you know. If the answer's coming, you know, I don't know what to say and how it's going to take place, but, you know, I've turned that over to my Heavenly Father. I just want to be out here and doing what he's asked me to do and just give him glory and honor, you know, and come and share with him, with you, or whatever the case might be. Just go on and do the things that God wants you to do and be a part of what he's wanting you to share in your life. You know, a lot of times we do that, though. Those testimonies that we have, they come, and then when you go through them, those are probably the times that you will come across people's paths that have a similar problem that you had, that now you've got a testimony of to show what God did, and it's like they get it gets their attention. Have you ever had that happen? Oh, man, he goes, well, I've gone through something similar to that. Really? And that's what God did for you, or that's what happened, and now you're this, or you were here, but now after some time in God, you're up to here again, or, you know, whatever it is. You will find that that testimony is there for that, and that's that stretch. First of all, yourself stretching to the things of God, stretching to meet him, allowing him to stretch to you, and being able to say, okay, Lord, you know, whatever it's going to take, you know, however much I need to go, if I need to stretch this far, or if we can put three or four of these together and stretch way out here, I want to do that. I want to be there, Lord, because I know you're there. So as we look at these things, I want you to be encouraged that God is there, that he's not left you, not forsaken you. And that he sees the end before you do. And he knows what he wants to accomplish in you. And do you not believe that he will do that if you allow him? If you will allow God the reign of your life, he will accomplish in your life what he has predestined you to do. It's going to take a lot of prayer at times. It's going to take a lot of perseverance. It's going to take a lot of standing. And when you don't know what else to do, stand. And when you don't know what else to do after that, you stand some more and you just say, no, God has given me this word. You might say, well, what word is that? My word, you know, to point where God's brought me into so many things is that Jeremiah 29:11-13, you know. He's brought me to the point of not to fail but to succeed, you know. And that if I pray to him and if I listen to him, you know, he's there to hear my prayers. But I've got to listen, and I've got to listen and obey what he says to do. It's a two-way street it's one-way street with God. You know, we pray, he responds, we better, okay, I'll do it type thing, you know. But these are things that it's in his the Bible. That's what we find in... Wow. I thought someone was coming through the ceiling there at first.